Hi, and welcome to another edition of Pigeons with me, Udeley Wickham Ashby. And today I'm extremely honored to have a young professional in the studio with me to discuss employment, but more specifically, employment, the whole gambit of recruitment, retention, promotion of persons with disabilities in the open job market, and maybe a little look at self-employment as well. I have in the studio with me Ms. Rashida Beckles from the Professional Hub. Welcome to the program, Rashida.
Thank you so very much, Udeley, and to all our listeners at home and abroad. And you're just really, really glad to be here and specifically to be able to support our fellow community in terms of persons with disabilities as well.
Wonderful. Rashida, just before we get into the heart of the matter, can you tell me what is human resource development, human resource management?
Certainly. So traditionally, there's just a preconceived notion of human resources really and truly just being one or two persons in a department that would, if you want to say, execute or be charged with, you know, recruiting, selecting, you know, maybe training and seeing the full spectrum of the employees during their life course with an organization. Oftentimes, human resources as well is seen as a standpoint only from the employer, but really and truly in human resources, I usually say is in the middle of the seesaw because we are there for everyone, for management, for employees as well, and to really help to bridge the gap between the two to be able to help in terms of the particular sector, industry, and of course, growing the business, whatever the size of the business, et cetera. So when it comes to human resources, though, I want us to start to challenge our minds to think of it in a broader spectrum. Human resources, in a general sense, is the human capital. We all have skills, Udeley. We all have talents. We have knowledge. And therefore, I want us to think about it as a set of persons who have real manpower, real labor. We are personnel who comprise the workforce. And therefore, whether it is in terms of a personal, individual, or collective, we are in itself human resources. In a more professional sense, though, we are those professionals, consultants who are there to be able to, I call it really heartbeat of any organization. And I know one of my former managers, Desiree Edwards, we always say HR is the heartbeat. We help to be able to create that synergy, to create the culture, to create the energy, and really and truly help to see what human resource, not just management is about, but human resource development in terms of developing people and organization.
I quite agree with all of what you have said, Rashida, because it's critical for any country to really move forward and to not only move forward, but to satisfy its citizens and help them with their own personal and professional growth. Mm-hmm. As families, as employees, it's needed.
Yes.
One other question I have before we delve into the heart of the matter.
Certainly.
Is human resource personnel working directly for management or more so for the employees, the staff? Because I think sometimes this presents a bit of a challenge for some human resource professionals in the various workplaces because the employees may view them more as management people. And sometimes the management might think they're more for the employees. Mm-hmm. So what is your take on this?
Really and truly, human resources oversees employee relations. So anything to do with employees, whether it is from line level employees, supervisors, middle management, or executives, that's what human resources is for. It's for all employees, no matter what level you are in the organization, because we all need each other. So we're not going to get muddled into all of that. Human resources is for employees, from directors, owners, line staff, managers, supervisors. We're there for everybody. I think what happens is that tug of war becomes that way because of maybe, you know, people seeing it more from the side of, okay, well, they're there because management asked them to do take out this particular action, or you're thinking about disciplinary meetings and, you know, employee-employer type of tensions. But at the end of the day, their rules, their regulations, their processes, whether from the Employment Rights Act in terms of different regulations that govern labor in Barbados, but then also companies have their own policies and procedures. So we are there to be able to enforce, to oversee, to guide, strategize, and to develop those who we are charged with in the organization.
Okay, nice. So as we think about our citizens with disabilities who have been complaining for many years about the lack of employment and underemployment, what are your thoughts? How can the HR professionals assist and support persons with disabilities in being recruited for jobs that are matching their credentials, their certification, their experiences.
So what I'd say before we even delve in a bit more is, remember, the views here are always just specifically for Rashida Beckles and the Professional Hub. It cannot speak for all human resource professionals or consultants in this space, of course. However, first and foremost, I believe that it is crucial for persons with disabilities to be able to understand, first and foremost, your strengths. What are your skill sets? What is it that you know in terms of your talent? And how then do you leverage that for anybody in the workspace? So I think that's the first thing that is key for us to be able to understand and to acknowledge. You know, if you have a conversation with members, maybe from the Council for the Disabled or a National Disabilities Unit, and we're talking about persons who are either job seekers, school leavers, or wherever they are in that spectrum, what are you good at? What is it that you can offer to an organization or a company? And then to be able to see, you know, where is it you're applying to? Is it the private sector? Is it the public sector? And then start to dissect the pieces of the puzzle from there. Because as much as we have, you know, different, if you want to say, opportunities, if one uses that terminology, as much as companies may say they want to be a bit more diverse and be able to recruit persons with disabilities, it is key for those persons with disabilities to understand what is it that you require, what is it that you're good at. Because when you go into an organization, many places will not have the resources to be able to accommodate you. Many places may not even know where to start and what to do. So it may be somewhere documented in policy. It may be something that some director or manager wants to say, okay, in terms of being a bit more inclusive, if we're talking in terms of emerging workplace, if you want to say matters and looking at discrimination and harassment, etc. But where do they start? So how can you then start to put the foundation in place to understanding who you are, what are you good at, you know, where are the areas that you might be able to fit into or to be able to recreate a different area before you can expect somebody to be able to do it there for you? Making sense?
Making sense. And would an HR professional be able to also help that individual? Because some people with disabilities may not be clear, may not have been thinking along this direction or even have the confidence. Mm-hmm. Is this an area that HR people will work with?
Again, I'm not going to generalize. I know all of the organizations that I have worked with are for, are being a representative for as well. Many of them do have in terms of the policies and in terms of their procedures and their handbooks, etc., and may take the time or would have taken the time to be able to have these sorts of courageous conversations. However, there are many who don't. So again, not to place that on the particular person, what I'll say though is maybe another form we can create that type of dialogue for persons who have disabilities to help them to start to think on a different level and not wait on somebody. You know, there are many HR consultants around and business partners that you can probably have those conversations with as opposed to expecting somebody in an existing organization to do that for you. So if you're thinking of persons who are hearing impaired, those who are visually impaired, somebody might have a physical disability. As I said, I've worked in organizations credible organizations who have recruited persons with those disabilities I've just mentioned. I do believe we also had one with someone who would have had, if you want to say, make sure I'm using the right terminology, Lane, in terms of more of an intellectual condition. But they're talented. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're persons who are very, yes, very good in, yes, terms of on the computer. They're persons who are amazing in terms of interacting with clients, customers, and guests. There are others who have taught persons to be able to basic, if you want to say, sign language in a workplace. That's why I started this conversation by understanding what are your talents? What are your gifts that God has given to you? What are your skills? But where is it that you want to work? And what is the purpose of working there? Is it just to be able to say, you know what, I need to be able to suffice myself and contribute to the household? Or are you going to be that, you know, that ethos of change, that change agent? And it's not easy. I know it's easier said than done. I'm here smiling because I know it's not easy. But I think it's time to be able to change that current a little bit and to help persons who don't know or who think they know and are out there representing or working on the behalf of persons with disabilities, but they have no idea what it is in that it might be even required to be in a workspace, whether in the traditional sense or coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, in more of a revolutionary or a modern approach to what does recruitment, what is an employee in this day and age, whether a freelance or in the traditional sense.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we've covered step one in terms of identifying your strengths, mm-hmm, and also identifying whether you would prefer to work in the private sector or the public sector so that you can make the necessary adjustments to to move forward. Mm-hmm. What's step two?
I would want to probably even go back to step one in terms of, do we have our resumes ready and rearing? If somebody mm-hmm. was to call no and heard this in terms of this particular airing of this show, and, you know, is your resume ready? Or somebody called right. you and said, you know what? So I would even go to challenge you. So in terms of your strengths and your talents, are you prepared? Is right. somebody called and asked you ready for an interview? Do you have, you know, in terms of basic, your preparation for that interview? Is it an online interview or face-to-face interview?
So what you're saying, Rashida, is that yes. it's important that you not only identify your strengths, yes. but understand you need to prepare. Prepare by having your resume ready, and also prepare for a possible interview, knowing yes. what type of questions you may be asked and what type of answers you want to provide, as well as if you have any questions for the interviewers.
Spot on, Yudeli, because the question will come in terms of your impairments. So it yes. shouldn't be something that is going to surprise a person with a disability, because the question is going to come up. So in relation to your physical or what type of impairment you may have, then how are you not going to be too sensitive to that? But to be able to calmly and confidently, hopefully, respond to it. And again, what are the challenges that may surround your employment with a particular organization with that impairment? Or what do you find as possibly a positive step to recruiting somebody who has a disability? The only thing I'll probably add as well is, again, knowing how to, in terms of overcoming certain challenges that may occur in the workplace, because we talk about diversity and inclusion. We talk about discrimination and harassment. And in the workplace, then it doesn't mean that persons, because as you know, you may have a disability, that persons are going to be any different to the person on the street when they see you trying to cross the road or on the public transportation. So when it comes to preparing for an interview or preparing for, if you're talking about being in the tradition or being in the workspace, having those conversations with yourself in terms of, you know, what are some of those challenges that you think you may exist in a workplace? You will go there, expect for positive, and you anticipate positive things, but then we still have to be mindful and cognizant that everybody does not understand persons with disabilities. And some persons would discriminate and they don't even know they're discriminating, you believe?
Correct. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And one of the, as you correctly said, the subject of revealing your disability is very sensitive to a lot of people with disabilities. Right. And I know for a fact that several persons who have hidden disabilities does not disclose. They do right. not disclose. Mm-hmm. And I can understand the reasoning for that, because of the fear of discrimination or the fear of not being recruited. Mm-hmm. But at some point, I believe it will be necessary to reveal, to disclose that you have a particular disability and how it impacts or affects your own movement and so on.
Yes, definitely.
So that's a decision that only the individual can make.
Very, very, very true.
Right. So any other pointers on the step one, Rashida?
I think those are probably core ones. I think the only thing, again, would be any of those particular resources that may be required for, depending on the type of impairment that you have. So what are those resources? Is it more in terms of the type of desk or chair that mm-hmm. may be a bit specific? Do you have one that right. can be brought in, or does the company have to look at that in terms of to be able to prepare and set up for you if it's more of an administrative type of role? For those who may be more in the, if you want to say, operational, whether customer facing or not, what does that look like in terms of being able to identify this person has a disability? So might it be just making sure there's a ramp leading to the washroom? So simple, mm. it seems simple, right. but many persons, whether it's a large organization, small, I know a lot of these things. If it is that it is somewhere more modern that may have had, you know, in terms of weather, bathroom stalls, et cetera, depending on what we're dealing with, then some places have these things and some places might not have had a checklist of what to do or how to prepare. So what resources might be key? Does anybody in the organization do sign language? I'm aware, and you may also be aware as well, there are some private entities that were offering sign language courses. I've also seen the NTI, that's the National Transformation Initiative. They had an online course in sign language too. How many organizations, how many entities, how many individual persons even saw this as something of value to have? Is there anybody else that actually does sign language within your organization? So these are just some of the tidbits that have come to me at this point. And if you would allow me 2 minutes as well, I want to be able to congratulate Dario Nightingale. He won the Challenge Award at the recently held National Youth Awards. And I want to say, you know, in terms of congratulations to Dario, his support team, etc. And even the other night when the young lady was signing for him. I'm not sure if persons even in the audience even realized, you know, the way how to be able to applaud would have been the, what do you want to call it, the shaking of the hands. Thank you very much. So even in a space where you have someone receiving such an award, I'm not sure if many persons, a few in the audience, actually understood or realized for his support who was signing for him, that that's what she was doing. And maybe, you know, persons could have picked up if they were being observant, that that's the way how the entire audience that was present should have congratulated Dario. But either way, whoever can sign for Dario and listen to this recording, hopefully to be able to congratulate him and help him to keep up the good work in terms of his advocacy and his skill of being a videographer. And also Mr. Akeem Rudder. Well, Akeem is not a person with a disability. Akeem would have also won the Banyan Award at the National Youth Awards last weekend. And congratulations to him and his organization. I think it's Include Youth Sports Academy, and doing some tremendous work with persons with disabilities in terms of fitness. And we know that that also helps in terms of your confidence, your fears, and not only in terms of your physical health, but in terms of how that can assist you mentally as well. So kudos to Dario, Akeem, and their support team as well. Thank you for that, Yudin.
Yes, kudos very much for these two young men. They're both young men that are striving and really making an impact in the community of people with disabilities. So congratulations again, Akeem and Dario.
Yes.
So, Rashida, as we continue our conversation about employment and people with disabilities, what are some of the measures do you think, again, the persons with disabilities can take if they are recruited? How do they ensure that they are doing the work diligently, competently, and efficiently? I know earlier you said your last point on the step one was making sure that you can also guide your employer in terms of the necessary resources to help you be accommodated so that you have reasonable accommodation within the workplace. Yeah. But then how do you, the individual employee with the disability, ensure that you do your work effectively? I think this is an area that sometimes we, this is my opinion, in terms of the HR professionals, might not think it's important for them to speak to the young person about. But in my opinion, my own observations, I think it's essential that this type of conversation also takes place to help that individual see another perspective and really look at how they can be the best in offering their skills to the workplace.
I think it's a very dynamic type of question in terms of my response, because it can't be a one size fits all. No. I think it is a combination of different things, because when you go into a workspace, you have so many different dynamics. I mean, in the personal space, it is very, very diverse as well. But then there's some environments that are very fast-paced. There's some environments that also are very target-driven. So it depends on the environment. It depends on the company culture. It depends on your role in that organization. What I would say, though, is that many of the skills, attributes, and upbringing, depending on the background that you have, so simple things of being pleasant and mannerly. Simple things in terms of your adaptability to the environment. So what are you known for in terms of your brand? Are you going to be known for the person who has a learning disability? Are you going to be known as a go-to individual that when it comes to maybe being able to find solutions to challenges, that you're the go-to for that? Are you going to be known as a troublemaker because you have a disability? Or will you be known then as the person who is an awesome, what do you want to say, a dancer or cook? So that person then see you for what it is that you're good at, and not that you have, the only thing that they see is your disability or inability to do certain things that they might be able to do. So, you know, we go back to problem solving. We go back to, are you in terms of a good time manager, in terms of managing your time? So what else do you contribute to that environment? And how do people then see or perceive you? Is it that you're going to be late every single day? And then be known as the person always late. Because you have a disability, then, you know, it's okay. But if it was me that was late six times, then I will be called for a disciplinary meeting. So, as I said, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of response I can provide, because it's so, so dynamic. And again, I'm talking about maybe some traditional environment. But in terms of non-traditional workspaces, if you're doing work online as a freelancer, what is it that you are still, you know, persons can say, you know what, when this person says they're going to do something, they do it. they are on time, they are professional. You know, they've taught me things in terms of on the computer or with certain applications I didn't even know. So how do you bring added value to that particular space in terms of, you know, as you said, in terms of measures? But when you think about everybody having an opportunity to be awesome, how do you create an awesome workspace and environment and for persons then to understand a bit more about your disability? Not making that the core focus of anything on every single day, but then that there's some more indirect, maybe education, indirect advocacy that's happening as well, and persons then see past the disability and see that you can also do things.
And I think that's an excellent point to make, Rashida, because yes, we know that it cannot be a one-size-fits-all for this question, but I think your points in terms of you, the individual person with a disability, being able to create a brand so that you're recognized by that brand of being punctual, of being dependable, of being reliable, being competent, being, you know, the go-to person for information about your particular job. So I think that is a really excellent point to remind all persons, particularly those with disabilities who are seeking employment, that they must strengthen their skills, improve their strengths so that they're able to really give consistently this awesome brand. Yes. Now, Rashida, as we continue the conversation, what would you suggest or how can persons with disabilities move into that space of self-employment? And I know sometimes that entrepreneurship is pushed at a lot of persons, but for me, I think it takes a really determined and purpose-driven individual to go this path of self-employment. What are your thoughts?
Do we have more hours? Let's see. We have to have another session or two. Well, first and foremost, self-employment and entrepreneurship is not for everybody. And I definitely have continued to hear that and see it, I would say, in recent months and years. Additionally, as you said, you got to be determined. You have to be determined. You have to also have a vision. What is your mission? What is your vision? And I mean, some of these things seem so cliche, usually, but there's a reason why we hear these things in terms of at school, why we hear these things out there in general public, because they help to set the tone, the foundation, the structure. People talk about vision boards and some people overlook them, whatever you call it. It's key to know why you're doing what it is that you're doing. You're creating that niche, and everybody has a different reason for why they want to become an entrepreneur or self-employed. Whatever that reason, it is going to take time and effort. And you can't do everything alone. You need to work with each other, work with persons who have different strengths than yours. Because you don't know everything. I don't know everything. But what we can do is that together, we should be able to say, you know what, well, Yudley is awesome in this area. Rashida is spectacular in another. And together, we help to pull each other together as opposed to tearing each other apart. And I'm realizing that sometimes even persons who are doing the same are in a similar business. I, for one, work with other HR consultants in my space because we're able to uplift, to enhance, to empower, and to also pull each other along in regards to what it is that we're doing. We learn from each other. There are others, however, that, you know, want to do their own thing and therefore would not collaborate or work together. And that's fine. But back to understanding in terms of being an entrepreneur, there's so many resources out there, Yudeli and audience. So many free resources out there. And I think coming out of the pandemic, there may even be more resources out there for persons who are looking at entrepreneurship. There is, you know, and I mean just off the top of my head, again, I will draw on the Ministry of Youth, Sports and Community Empowerment. They have several programs for persons who are looking to be entrepreneurs as well. I saw something recently, I think the NCF was looking for persons in terms of assisting them with, I think it was certain classes and making, I'm not sure if it's leather and cotton or crocheting or whatnot. There's also, again, the NTA, National Transformation Initiative. I'm not a representative for any of these organizations. However, there are free resources out there to be able to help you to understand about budgeting, understanding finances. A lot of persons may make money, but what are you doing with that money? Do you invest it back into the business? But audience, when it comes to entrepreneurship and self-employment, you have to invest in yourself. So sometimes you might have made just $100 today, but what is it that you do with that $100? Some days, you know, you have to, of course, just focus it specifically on the business. But another day you make maybe a $150, do you take $25 and put that back into the business to know, okay, well, I went and did a course that cost me $25 online. I purchased something to put back in terms of an investment so that next time I know that I have the relevant material if this customer calls and asks for this particular product or service. So it's so many different areas, but I said start with that mission and that vision and go there and understand the resources that are available, free resources, as I said, that are available to start off. As time goes on, then you can look to be able to, you know, purchase or to pay for certain opportunities and courses. And then understanding the rights and responsibilities of entrepreneurs, you know, are there any subscriptions that will be useful? Are there any organizations that do have whether webinars and seminars to be able to help you to grow? And any certifications that can help you to be better in that particular role? A mouthful, right?
Quite a lot that can be taken and used. Mm-hmm, it is mm-hmm. for us to use the information that is available to us. And as you are correctly saying, so many free resources that can help build our knowledge
right.
and give us direction on how we can develop our own businesses mm-hmm. as self-employed entrepreneurs, you know? Now, Rashida, share your thoughts on how do you think Barbados generally can give more support to persons with disabilities, you know, being recruited and being retained in the workplace?
Those conversations, I think, from one angle have to come from the person with disability
mm-hmm.
on one side of the spectrum. On the other side of it as well is being able to actively engage maybe as the community or the employers, I should say, in relation to what is it in terms of your strategic objectives for the organization. So there are many persons, if you talk about in terms of green responsibility and energy saving, so, you know, make a change here in terms of the types of lights and light bulbs that you use, persons doing solar, etc. So when it comes to your strategic objectives of the company or the organization, there are many persons who continue to our organizations that will continue to look at ways to be able to develop, to grow, to be more responsible. And that responsibility, I should say, conversation, and not only conversations with discrimination and harassment or diversity of your workforce, but I would say in terms of that responsibility, how is it then that you are looking to have, and not just a number, so not just to say you have, you know, two persons with disabilities on your workforce, so not just tick a box, but really and truly then having actively engaged maybe in terms of corporate social responsibility, first and foremost with disabled community in regards to maybe having different workshops in terms of maybe going to seminars that are maybe hosted by persons with disabilities. I would even maybe volunteer hour. So volunteering, you know, some staff or team members to be able to volunteer once a month or something with one of the organizations, maybe that you are a board that you sit on, you delete. So I'm saying it from all sides of the spectrum. It's not one organization, not one entity, not one sector, but for persons then to be able to see that it is very much multidimensional when it comes to looking at recruiting persons with disabilities, but also persons with disabilities. They're looking to see what is it and that is key if you're thinking about not just the workforce of today, though, because I'm not a person that only looks at the present, but what about the workforce of tomorrow? How does that look different in regards to diversity and inclusion of the workspace?
So, Rashida, I know that sometimes when people are job hunting and they go on international agencies or sometimes other companies in the US, Canada, the UK, they will see a sign saying equal opportunity employer.
Right.
Meaning that they include persons with disabilities, they include older persons, because that's another issue. So just look at the intersectionality where you have your disability and you're an older woman, you know, create some dynamics there. How can Barbados move into that direction of our employers being able to say justly so that they're equal opportunity employers?
Again, I can't generalize it. There are persons out there who are already doing it. I think, again, it comes back to the strategic objectives, your focus. What is your policy on diversity, equity, and inclusion in the workplace? What is it in terms of your workforce that you are seeking to achieve, et cetera, on your recruitment forms and all these different things? How's your process? So there's so many different sides of the spectrum when you're thinking about these dynamics. Where's the organization going? So I really can't, because there's so many from small businesses, medium size, so the SMEs, your NGOs, and there's so many different components of it that it starts with the objectives of the company. It starts with the maybe the type of human resources personnel you have as well in the organization. And then ownership, leadership, directors, is that a focus for them? So the agenda has to come from the persons with disabilities and the community, and not to rely and wait on persons to be able to do that. So we talk about sustainable development goals, I believe is goals number 10 and goals number 8, that looked at reducing inequalities, decent work, etc. But the agenda, for me, is critical to have to be pushed from persons with disabilities to be able to get to understanding the rights and responsibilities, emerging workplace issues, safety and health as well. All these things I think are key to come from, but a discussion has to be had in terms of from the entities that represent persons with disabilities, and then the bodies that represent employers in the island. The government as well, you know, as I said, these are the views of Rashida Beckles and the Professional Hub. And ultimately then, I've done a lot of work in terms of NGOs and charity work. I've worked in several, as I said, developmental and transformational brands across the island as well. And therefore, I've seen what can happen because I've seen it happen. And it is possible, but it is key. Who are those that are the leaders and what is it that your brand and company stands for? Yeah.
All right. Any final point you want to make, Rashida? I want to say a very special thank you for sharing your thoughts and really helping us to understand part of the process of recruiting people with disabilities for the workforce.
I think the only thing I would say at this point in time is I want persons, or encourage persons, to remember that it's not always you're born with a disability. You know, you can go down the road today and something happens, and it might just be something that happens to the body, the brain. You can get into an accident or an incident, and then you now have a disability. There are persons that can have a temporary impairment as well. So I want us to be a bit more probably aware of persons with disabilities and realizing that it doesn't necessarily mean then that it happened from birth, but it can happen to any one of us. And to be a bit more understanding sometimes, or try to understand sometimes where persons are coming from. And as we go on, realizing that life is short and sometimes fear, though, it holds us back. So appealing to, you know, general public to sometimes be mindful that disability is something that happens only from birth or from young. It can happen to us at any time. And to those persons living with disabilities, I know it can't be easy, but sometimes fear, sometimes not having the knowledge and the resources, et cetera, can also be a hindrance. But there are opportunities out there, the resources, and then what do we use to be able to help us? So reach out to persons. Collaborate, work together, and let's make 2023 and beyond awesome.
Thank you very much, Rashida, and I will be calling on you again, so you just listen out. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudley Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Rashida Beckles from the Professional Hub. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 via email visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can listen to this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Cheers.